Our text is found in passage we read in the Gospel according to Mark, Mark chapter 9, and we shall read again verses 23 and 24. Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Amen. When we consider the situation in which this man found himself, we see something that is perhaps beyond anything we have experienced. A man whose son was possessed with a spirit, a dumb spirit, meaning that the child was not able to speak. And more than that, this evil spirit would seize the boy and tear him or dash him. And as a consequence, the boy would foam at the mouth and gnash with his teeth. He was pining away. And no wonder in such a case. And this man exercised as we would expect him to be because of the grievous condition of his son, who was in such peril, desiring help and coming first to the disciples of Christ and not obtaining any help from them, they unable to help him, then seeking help from the Lord Jesus himself. Now our circumstances may never have been quite such as with this man, but every believer will have situations when there are difficulties and personal trials, family trials, these things have occurred. And what is our attitude and what do we do when such things come? We are professing to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, in God as our help, our refuge, our strength, the one who delivers us out of all our afflictions. Well, what faith do we have? What prayers go up? Sometimes we pray and we do not seem to get an answer. And it appears to us as though God is far off. And perhaps then doubt begins to enter into our hearts and minds. Our faith becomes weak. And when that happens, the devil himself may get a foothold, and he may discourage us further. We sink in our souls, and by and by we hardly pray at all, and our faith seems to be almost gone. And certainly we lack assurance, confidence. We go through the motions of our religion, but we're not strong in faith, giving glory to God. We're not praising the Lord, waiting upon him. We may believe that Christ is the Savior of sinners, but we begin to wonder whether we are among those who have believed unto the saving of the soul. Well, we have here a man who has faith, And yet he lacks faith. And the Lord deals with him, and the Lord deals very wisely and kindly and lovingly with him. He deals with the man's doubt. And what we see in this account here is that the Lord deals with this man's doubt by getting the man to deal with his own doubt, to recognize it. And he helps him to overcome it. And we wish to see how the Lord deals with doubt. That can only be to our help. If we find ourselves in a situation where we begin to question things, and the reality of our religion, what substance is there to it? Perhaps those of the world are casting doubt upon the things of God, the Bible, and Christ, crucified and risen, the return of the Lord, all these things. And perhaps the believer may in his weakness begin to tend in that direction, away from the Lord, forgetting the promises of God, dwelling on these things and being filled with doubt. For we desire that the Lord would keep us, and that he would so work in our lives that we might have that faith that works. It works first and foremost by laying hold of Christ and receiving righteousness from him. But it must work also in following Christ and continuing with Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's the way the Lord keeps his people. That's how they find themselves to be in a condition where the Lord is evidently blessing them. And they know that God is there. He is their heavenly Father. That Jesus Christ is their advocate. And the Holy Spirit is their comforter. Close to the Lord. And believing God's word. And living according to it. First thing we find here is a rebuke, and it comes from the Lord to this man. And we might imagine that that would be the last thing that Christ would give to this man. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And they follow the words of the man himself in the previous verse. And it is those words which earn this rebuke from Christ. Oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That was what the man said to Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the mighty Lord, the Lord of glory, the one who by miracle and deed and word was demonstrating himself repeatedly to be who he claimed to be, and Israel's Messiah. Now many among the Jews were not giving this man much help, because they were full of doubt and more than doubt. They were opposing Christ, finding fault with Christ, the Jewish leaders in particular, the Pharisees. They were enemies of Christ. And this man needed help. Oh, how he needed help. for his Son. But he speaks to Christ as one might do to a fellow human being. If thou canst do anything, if you can help me, oh, will you have compassion? Will you come to my aid? His problem was in that if. There was doubt there. If thou canst do anything, that's not the faith of God's people. When it is improper exercise, there's no doubt then. We know who the Lord is and what the Lord is able to do. He's the infinite God, the eternal one. He never changes. He's the same in his power, in his grace and mercy, in his love to his people. Faith receives that truth, and faith acts upon that truth, and more. Faith in the Word of God enables us to understand the heart of Christ. And the believer knows that there's nothing in Christ such that Christ would refuse to help, that he would not come to the rescue, as it were, of one in difficulty, one in trouble. When there is that humble yet fervent and believing request made out of the soul of the one who is in difficulty, who has no help of man, and that cry goes up to the Lord, the Lord delights to answer such requests. But there must be faith, not doubting God's word, revealing Christ. When you go to the Scriptures, what do you see there in terms of divine revelation concerning Jesus of Nazareth? Do you not see divinity? Do you not see the true God? Do you not see the one who is mighty to save and mighty to keep? Do you not see the one who loves his own? And there's nothing he will not do for them. He will do all that is for their good. He will reveal his loving kindness to those who seek him for it. The man was doubting the Lord's ability to help. He was also doubting the Lord's willingness to help. And it's perhaps the latter that is often our problem. We will believe all that the Scripture says concerning the identity of Christ, his divine person, his redeeming work, and the riches of his grace, his favor towards his people. Sometimes our belief in the sovereignty of God can cause us to be saying to ourselves, well, it's all a matter of God's will, and perhaps it will not be his will to help me. And we know that on occasion, God does not answer the particular request that is made. When we come and we prescribe to the Lord what he should do for us in a certain situation, he does not always answer it as we put it into our words and make our request. And if he does not do that, it does not mean that he is refusing us. If the request is for that which is good, that which is needed, that which is for his glory, then the Lord will surely answer that request. that he may answer it in a way different to our thinking, our understanding. Praying for a loved one who is sick. Our first and foremost concern for that loved one must be for their soul, their spiritual welfare. Many pray for those who are sick, and all they're thinking of is the sickness. And we understand that. But firstly, soul. And if the loved one is a believer in Christ, if the loved one is one who's walked with the Lord and manifestly loves the Lord, that loved one is sick, even grievously ill, we must recognize that it may be of the Lord and out of his love that rather that dear one would be taken home to be with Christ than remain here with suffering and with difficulty. That's the way to understand the sovereignty of God. He's over everything. He reigns. He does according to his good pleasure. But his love to his people should never be in doubt. His goodness to them, his abundant goodness, should never be in doubt. And he will always do what seems good in his sight. And he will always do what is for the best. We make our request. We make it in faith. But true faith, coming before the Lord at the throne of grace, has that humility within it, whereby we submit to God's perfect will. That's not weakness. That's following the example of Christ. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So a rebuke from the Lord to this man, but one of a loving kind, a wise kind. He doubted the ability, the willingness of the Lord to help. And we should never have such doubts. After the rebuke, we have the response. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Words with tears. And that was an encouraging sign. That was a recognition on the part of this man that he had been wrong to speak to the Lord in the way he did. The tears were there because the man was moved in his heart. He was conscious of his error. He was beginning to see, perhaps clearly, that the one he was dealing with was indeed far more than a mere man. Otherwise, why make the request of Jesus? He'd made it of the disciples. They were unable to help. He needed more than a disciple. He needed God himself. And is there the dawning of an understanding that in speaking to Christ, making his request of Christ, he is indeed looking to the Lord? That's the great wonder, the discovery that everyone must make. It's the one the believer makes, the one that the believer rejoices in. Is it not so with you? That the Lord opened your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, that you saw in the face of Jesus Christ the glory of God and the one who has all ability and all willingness to help. What the man realized was that his unbelief, his doubting, was sinful. And there are many who will not see it that way. They doubt God. They find fault with God's dealings. They complain against God. They're rather proud of what faith they do have. They think God should be pleased with them for having such faith. They imagine it's come from within themselves, according to their own choice and strength of will. And they do not see unbelief as a sin. But it is. Many ways the greatest sin of all. Distrusting God. Refusing to take him at his word. There's a difference there between faith and assurance. Some believers, genuine believers, do not have a full assurance of faith. And that may be because of failure on their part. Maybe because they have not read the scriptures, taken them to heart, prayed regularly and fervently, been in the company of other believers as they should have been. They've wandered, they've strayed, they've become worldly. These things may spoil us of our assurance. But even the best of saints can have times when assurance is not as strong as at other times. You see that in the book of Psalms. You see it in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Cast down, wondering what is happening? That misery instead of joy. The sadness of the believer in dark times, perhaps when there's much opposition, and when being a believer in God, a disciple of Christ, has its difficulties attached to it. And our assurance dims. Our hope is not what it once was. But when it comes to faith in God, we are surely blameworthy if we do not trust Him. If we do not cleave to Him. If we do not hold him fast. And you see the bride there in the song. And she cannot be content except to be close to her bridegroom. Always and ever near to him and him near to her. Dwelling with him, delighting in him. Not assured always, but exercising faith. And whenever she's conscious of his absence, the longing and the seeking. He said with tears, "Lord, I believe." And so he did. Faith was there. A weak faith. And in his heart, the doubt. But the Lord was dealing with it. The Lord was clearing it. And that is what he does for his own. When there is that burden, that we are not as we should be, and that we need God's grace, and only God's grace, that we might be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, we desire to honor him, to glorify his name. We can only do that when our faith is alive and in exercise. Lord, I believe. You see, the divine title is there. Lord, I believe. Drawing near with faith. Giving Christ the honor that is his due. How do we come to God? Is it always with humility? Bowing down? And with the recognition that this man was beginning to have that we deserve no good thing from him. All that we receive from the Lord is of his free favor, his gift, and all the blessings which belong to the believer come from Christ by his purchase. Recognize that. Every gift you have from God comes at a cost. And the cost was Christ crucified, his sufferings unto death, the cursed death of the cross, his blood, precious blood. Is it precious to you? Precious to me. Because of what it has achieved, even our salvation, reconciliation to God. And everlasting life. And all the benefits we get while we're in this world. And especially that we can come to the throne of grace. We have that access. Accepted in our beloved. And we will not be turned away. Faith may be weak. But if it's genuine. And if it's not doubting, then the Lord will hear in heaven. And the Lord will be gracious to us. Stronger the faith. And the more earnest the plea. And the more persevering we are. The more we may receive from the Lord. For ourselves and for others. Are we intercessors? We have our own needs. Let us seek God's help with regard to those needs. But let us remember our brethren in the congregation, others in the community, those further afield, praying for them, praying for the sick, praying for those in difficulty, and doing so in faith. And the more we exercise faith, the more we shall have faith and an instinctive trust in the Lord and dependence upon him. O Well, thirdly and finally, we have the request. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And that was a good request. Dear friends, we should be making that, and perhaps daily. Because whatever our faith is, it's not perfect. And no surprise if there is a measure of doubt there. But you have to check it. You have to deal with it. Never let it linger. Never let it foster. Never let the devil get in. Turn you away from God. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Notice that. Help thou mine unbelief. I cannot help my unbelief. I can read the scriptures. I can try to pray. But it must be the grace of God that takes away my doubt. It must be a work of the Spirit in my heart that enables me to believe as I ought to believe. Help thou mine unbelief. There was reverence coming before the Lord. And there was honesty. There should always be honesty when we come before God. We're never going to hide anything from the Lord. We're never going to deceive Him. Why should we ever make the attempt? That will surely provoke the Lord. No, we come and we unburden ourselves. We tell Him everything. We tell Him things as they are. And if we cannot understand how things really are, we share with the Lord our lack of understanding and ask Him for light and guidance. God knows. He knows our situation. And the Lord Jesus, as we love to think upon this, is full of compassion, full of sympathy. He has a fellow feeling with His people. He was in the world. He was tempted. He understands. Trials and troubles we have. And He is able to minister to us. And He does. According to His grace. And our need. Honesty. I believe. And yet. I struggle to believe. Have you ever. Come before God. In that way. And if you have, surely the Lord has helped you. It's coming as a child, not with pretense, but with a complete lack of guile. It's opening our heart to God, and it's asking Him to help where we cannot help ourselves. And the desire was there, was it not? He was spurred on, of course, motivated by the tragic situation of his son in danger of death. And the Lord can use such things. He can put us in a situation where there is some great burden upon our soul. our own difficulty, the difficulty of those near and dear to us. And those of the world may scarce know what to do. They'll turn this way and that way, looking for help. But we know what we ought to do. The Lord is our refuge and our strength. His ears are open to our cries. What a privilege to be able to go to Him and what a failing indeed to remain at a distance for us to be dumb who should be calling upon God by the Spirit. Abba, Father. That's the language of the child of God. The one who has any faith at all in Jesus Christ, who's brought us to the Father. Our unbelief. To deal with it. Here is the way to recognize that there's no failing in God. God is the perfect one, and His ability is not to be doubted, neither is His willingness. We look within ourselves. We confess our lack of trust, our lack of belief, and we make the request, help thou mine unbelief. Well, the Lord granted the blessing so greatly desired. The Lord saw in this man faith. The sort of faith that obtains blessings from God. And the blessing was given. The evil spirit was rebuked and commanded to come out of the boy. And Christ lifting up the boy by his hand, he rose up, and he was whole. Faith, receiving from the Lord the blessing, and the unbelief, no doubt, that now removed. And this man, following the Lord, and with this account to give of having doubted, but now he trusted, and he would surely be trusting the Lord in all the days ahead. For may the Lord help us in times of unbelief. May our faith be strengthened by Him for His glory and for our good. May God bless His word to us. Let us pray. O Lord God, forgive us, we pray, when at times we pass over the scriptures. We do not receive the whole truth concerning myself and our blessed Saviour and the gracious Spirit. We come with faith and yet we lack faith. Strengthen us inwardly May the word blessed by the Spirit do its work. And that we would increase in faith and in the petitions we make as those who are privileged to come before thee on our own behalf and on behalf of others. Graciously hear us and take away our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.